TheFinityDiet.com.
America, who comes out smelling like a rose, the Democrats or the Republicans, after a near government shutdown is averted? Oh yeah, we've got a budget deal at this point. It's not in the $60 billion cut range that the Republicans initially were seeking, but it's much more than the $31 billion. People still talking about the budget and also what's coming up next, the battle over really trillions. Hey, everyone, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, outside the borders, flyover states, you name it. Hopefully we're reaching all of you. Please spread the word. We like a lot of things that have happened the last couple of weeks thanks to many of our new listeners who have done just that. That was one of them. They have been spreading the word about America Tonight, which is why when I check my email through AmericaTonight.net, the box is overflowing. I can say that a few times. I swear I haven't had that much coffee. Anyway, we appreciate it. We appreciate the fact that a lot of you are giving us lip service. So thank you very much. And a big shout out to everybody listening to us in Lexington, Kentucky on 590, and also on the Space Coast, WMEL in Melbourne, Florida. I was just reading about one of their beaches today in a travel section somewhere that they've got some of the best beaches in the country, which, of course, the Space Coast, you have Cocoa Beach. I bet the people in Cocoa Beach and the people in Lexington, along with those in a few other places like Burlington, Vermont, and also Connecticut, et cetera, we're talking about the fact that, oh, wow, right before midnight on Friday, they decide, they being the politicians, we're going to play Let's Make a Deal. And the House Minority Leader, Nancy Pelosi, said the president and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid should be commended for their leadership and perseverance to keep the government open, and that the American people's top priority is creating jobs, blah, 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 and we're going to continue to do that. What jobs are they talking about? So the upshot of it is as the government was nearing the shutdown, an agreement was cut. And it's basically, I'm going to call it $39 billion. I'm going to round it off. $39 billion in cuts. So that's what the deal is. Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, who wants to run for president, says that the deal is a disappointment for millions of people who expected $100 billion in cuts and wanted to make sure that their tax dollars stopped going to Planned Parenthood, because remember that became part of the deal at the end here that was thrown into the mix. And instead that they settle for the 39 that I was mentioning and the health care continues along the same path. The Affordable Care Act isn't in any way changed. So I think there's going to be more debate on this, I guess, is the upshot of it. But the government not being shut down is good for the veterans. There was some confusion as to what would happen with paychecks, and I triple checked on that, and there would have been checks that would have been late, and there would have been people who needed those checks that didn't get the checks if there had been any kind of a delay over the course of a week, a couple of days, it would have changed it. So now the debate pushes forward, and it's a bigger debate over how to cut trillions in government spending. And how is the economy going to ultimately become more competitive? Because it is about jobs. It does have to become more competitive. Now this budget is passed. But what about 2012? What about what ultimately happens with the deficit, which is more than clogging our pores? It's not going to work. All the clearest cell in the world, to use the analogy, pasted over this, is not going to solve what ails us. It keeps the government running, but now the debate is over the debt ceiling. We got a couple of weeks to go, and otherwise we are really stuck on this, and who knows how this will be viewed by others around the world. Something else that was big over the weekend and last week, Donald Trump is emerging as a much more serious candidate. While Michelle Bachmann would like to be president on the Republican side of things, seems Donald Trump is angling to get that nomination. And it's not about playing around. He apparently is much more serious about it. And one of the key things that he will not stop talking about is Barack Obama's birthplace. And what is the scoop on that? He was on CNN. Candy Crowley does one of the political shows over the weekend. And he talked to her about it. I want you to hear just a couple little snippets of the Donald and the president's birthplace.
It's not a birth certificate, Candy. And people are trying to figure out why isn't he giving his birth certificate. It's not a birth certificate. A certificate of live birth, and you can see that one that you have and the one that I brought you, because that's the one that's on the Internet and all over the place. It doesn't even have a serial number. It doesn't have a signature. It doesn't have a signature. One that I saw on television has a stamp, but that's not a signature. But that's not the one that they were showing to everybody.
Okay, so you heard that there, that he was going back and forth about the different versions of it. The White House finally responded. Remember I kept saying, I think ultimately what was up the sleeve of the White House was to say, okay, you want the birth certificate, here you go. In your face, and boom, they'll throw it out there at a key point during the rerun, trying to get the president elected again. But the White House finally did respond to Trump's theories, and on another program, one of the senior Obama advisors said Trump's musings are just ridiculous, they're stupid, they're a spectacle, and he predicted that his potential run, if in fact he does run in 2012, would fail very easily. And that there might be a small part of the country that believes, this is a quote from the advisor, that believes these things, but mainstream Americans think it's a sideshow, and they want our leaders to focus squarely on the issue in front of us, how we're going to keep growing the economy, how we keep people safe, how do we make sure that we're going to win the future by focusing on things like education and innovation. I mean, that's pretty much sums up what he was saying. What's interesting is Sarah Palin was asked about Donald Trump and what Trump had to say, and she said, more power to him. That's a good thing. Keep on going. Keep on bringing it, Donald. And like I said, what I heard is that you might be surprised during the run, a show of a birth certificate could come out to say, look at how ridiculous this is. Why would we even waste time on this? You know, and does this sink Trump's credibility in your eyes, or does it help Donald Trump to bring up the birther thing? I mean, ultimately, if he's really serious in running, that's the question. Because in politics, no matter what, even if you're a straight shooter, the people around you, their job is to get you elected. So, I don't know, in your eyes, does this help Trump or not? Let me throw out the digits, because remember, you can be a part of this show. Don't be shy. I don't care what your political stripes are. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now, and my doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I was born, the nurses all gathered round. They gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, leave this one alone. She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
All right, Donald Trump talking about the birth certificate of Barack Obama. Does this hurt him, or does it make him a stronger candidate in some people's eyes? Got a note here from Sarah who says, Kate, all the way Trump in 2012, if he's the guy, support him. Anything to get Obama out of the White House. He is wrecking this country. We need a replacement player. Frankly, and I don't care who it is, and I think there are a lot of other people who feel the same way that I do. 800-259-5791. Tomas in Michigan. Hello, Tomas.
Oh, wow. Man, am I on the radio?
You are, smarty.
Hey, you know, this guy Ryan is coming out with all these $6.2 trillion cuts. And I, you know, when I heard that, I was really excited. I said, man, that's some real change. Oh, I shouldn't have used that phrase. But anyway, I looked at it, and you know when this guy plans on balancing the budget in his plan?
I know, it's like 12 years from now. It's ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah, it's 2040.
I know. 2040,
we're going to have a balanced budget with Ryan's plan. Let me see, now I'll be like 150 years old then.
You're right.
You know, I thought the 10-year plan was a little bit long. Remember when we were saying the guy's in for 2 years, he comes out with a 10-year plan? I don't know. But, yeah, you know, he plans on balancing the budget in 2015 as long as you don't count the interest. That's like saying, yeah, I'm going to pay off my credit card, but not the interest.
Yeah, ridiculous.
You know, it's going to work. Yeah. I just And I can't believe no one's calling. No one is saying. I would expect, you know, somebody on the Obama side to say, this dude is just a bunch of smoke and mirrors, man. He's not going to balance the budget until everybody is dead that's serving in Congress now. 2040. Come on.
I know. We got to do it. No. You're right. You got to do it now. But the problem is, I think that, you know, the Democrats just want to get out of it, Tomas. They just want to, they want this to be done with and then move on to the next deal and just bury this. Forget it. Like, let's not even go there. Let him dig his own hole, but we don't want to be the one bringing it up because it's hurting us. But I agree.
Well,
I don't know why they don't.
And I don't think the Democrats have much to worry about now that the Republicans caved in on the shutdown. I mean, if the heat was too hot in the kitchen and all they were baking was a $100 billion cookie, how hot is it going to be when they're baking the whole budget? Huh? They're not going to shut anything down. And that's the only leverage they have is to say, if you don't do this, we'll shut the government down, because they don't control the Senate or the presidency.
Right,
so,
right.
So what is there to fear? The Democrats called the bluff, and the Republicans, you know, they didn't have anything in their hand. They didn't have any guts. So they don't have to listen to the Republicans, because they know the Republicans are not going to shut it down. If they didn't shut it down and you know, the firestorm was just $100 billion big, you can imagine, you know. And I tell you what, they need to shut it down because, you know, some people might miss, get some half payments for maybe a week or a couple of weeks. But if we don't take some really drastic action, you know, it's going to come a day pretty soon where no one's going to get any checks in Social Security. Medicare is going to just blow up. Medicaid, the same thing. And then what? You won't be talking about, you know, getting a smaller check. You won't be getting anything. And so I think that
I think that we're all going to have, you know, part-time jobs at McDonald's.
Like three part-time jobs.
Right. We're going to, it's very scary. You're absolutely right. It's very, very, very scary unless you are sitting on a pile of money and gold and anything you can get your hands on. But then we're back to the richest 1%. I mean, for anybody else. And what is the middle class? You know, where is the middle class? Yeah.
I tell you what, I may move to France. I may start speaking in Parle Francais, because they are now the leaders of the free world. Standing up down there, they're running the show in Libya. Monday, you're going to see some riots in France, because Monday is when they ban the burqa.
I know. The French full veil ban happens on Monday, absolutely. And anybody who is wearing it, you already know this, they're fined $216.
Right. And if a man makes his woman wear it, I think he goes to jail. And
yeah.
That's. I don't think there's another Christian country out there that has done that. And, you know, of course, American women here, they don't care. They don't care. America doesn't. Sarah Palin should be all over this. Donald Trump should be all over this. You know, he's a big hair guy, you know. I mean,
he's a big hair guy.
Right? He knows all about burkas.
Yeah, but here's the thing. There is a different game that's being played in America, and you know that. It's not even the interpretation of the burqa in its strictest sense. And I understand what you're saying. I love what the French have done, absolutely. But what's happened here culturally is way different than what's going on in France.
I don't know. I don't see what you're talking about. I mean, just sure we have,
because
Muslims,
I know people.
Here.
I know people. I've worked with people that wear a burqa, and they wear jeans in a burqa, and they do that, and they feel comfortable doing that. They feel it's honoring their tradition of their religion, but they're not going home and being shoved in the corner and being told that you have to do everything I say. So what you and I think of the old form of it and the way women are treated, I gotcha.
How do you think it started out? You know what? 25 years ago, it was the same thing in France. That, you know, the women were in jeans and they would wear the burqa just to show that, yeah, you know, I'm Muslim. And now, where is it at? they're being tortured by their religion over there. Mm-hmm. It's a gradual thing. Go to Dearborn, Michigan, and see how many Shiites and how many women are walking around, you know, head to toe covered on a 110-degree day, and their men are walking around in wife beaters and sandals and shorts. It's a gradual thing. You got to nip it in the bud, or you know you're going to get poison ivy. And I'll leave you with that.
I'm going to throw that out there, Tomas. Thanks, Tomas. I disagree with Tomas because I think, listen, I understand about radical Islam, all of that, and I agree 100%. And I think some crazy, ridiculous, political correct, everybody afraid to say anything, things have happened in the United States. Ever watch Bill Maher's show? If you could ever get Bill Maher's show, and because he has conservatives and Democrats on, watch him sometimes. I mean, he talks about this all the time. Even if you're in the complete opposite side of the page from Bill Maher. But the problem is everybody's interpretation is different. It's like, you know, Orthodox Jews versus the non-Orthodox, I'll call them Jews. It's, you know, different forms of Christianity and what's evolved from that. So there are definitely plenty of women that wear a veil in the United States who are not being beaten, stoned, whatever. You know, they're not living in Iran. I agree. The things that happen there, it's ridiculous, sickening. I couldn't even imagine being a woman in that situation. I couldn't. I couldn't imagine in Afghanistan being treated less than you know, like dirt on the ground. Forget about it. No way. Thank God I'm an American. Thank God I'm an American female. But at the same time, there are, I've seen it. I've worked with people that have worn it, and they were not being persecuted. Tomas thinks it's a slippery slope, and once you do that, then you're going to go down that path. The problem is if you start putting restrictions on, then watch out Christianity and watch out other religions and watch out what could clamp down upon you when someone decides, well, you can't do that. That's not cool to do that. It's, you know, and I get it. I mean, this is an argument that's tough to win because in the same breath we're saying, and I'm with Tomas on this, bravo to Sarkozy for what's happened in France and the fact that he's saying, you know, we don't treat women this way. Forget it. It's not happening here. It's just, we're not doing it. This is not part of our culture. So you're going to be fine. I mean, you're going to be fine for this. And the Muslim folks in France, you got about 5 million. It's certainly the largest, but what's interesting is, you know how many they think are women? Maybe fewer than 2,000 women are actually, of all those 5 million Muslims, maybe less than 2,000 are believed to actually wear a full face veil. And many Muslim leaders have said they support neither the veil nor the law banning it. That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying, that they don't support the law, but they don't support the veil either. So what does that mean? They're taking a page out of the American politicians' playbook. That's what it means. Crazy. By the way, the police there arrested 59 people on Saturday. They turned up for a banned protest over the veil ban. Woo! Stay with us.
Are you paying more than you have to for your home loan?
Discover how to take advantage of the lowest interest rates in decades and put money back in your pocket every month. Hometown Financial has been authorized to offer new mortgage rates that are starting a new refi boom. Rates are in the mid-fours. That means lower interest and lower payments for you. Act now to lock in your low rate for 30 years before rates go up again. You never know when waiting even one day could cost you thousands in interest payments. For a free rate quote to refinance or for first-time homebuyers, call Hometown Financial now at 800-526-5399. Our friendly professionals will help you find the loan that is best fit for you to save the maximum amount of money possible. Discover just how little you could be paying for your home. Call 800-526-5399. That's 800-526-5399. Rates might never be this low again in your lifetime. Don't miss out. Call 800-526-5399.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects, is safe for all ages and skin types, and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled D-E-R-M-A-T-O-L.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area, because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power, regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low, at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive-leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on-sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
I heat up, I can't cool down. Got me spinning round and round. Round and round and round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Every time you call my name, I heat up like a burning flame. Burning flame, full of desire. Kiss me, baby, let the fire.
Welcome back to America Tonight, talking about a couple of different things. Hamas throwing the pebble in the water, and we're seeing the rippling effects, talking about the burqa being banned in France and what's been the reaction to that. You know, it's interesting, the burqa conversation and the birther conversation about President Obama, a lot of that takes place, as do many of the arguments, the pros and cons about a slew of different things that we can't all agree on, or we do agree on in some cases, happen over the internet. Talk radio is big, obviously, but the internet with the blogs and whatnot, that becomes a big deal. That's why there's a lot of people that argue over the blogs. One of the things that we've talked about a lot on America Tonight is net neutrality. And when you look at some of the assumptions of net neutrality and, you know, what does that mean? What makes net neutrality possible? You know, to me, the deal with net neutrality means you have got to preserve, you know, basically what you have to do is save the internet. You have to, I think, preserve the free and open highway. whether you like something or not, it's like I always say, it's just like this radio show. You don't like listening to me jaw on and on. You'd rather hear about the famous guy down the dial talking about the spaceships and the aliens, which we'll talk about sometimes too. But where the focus is all of that, or somebody else or whatever, you can do that because you can flip the dial. And same thing with the internet. You don't have to read certain blogs or look at whatever it is on the internet. You can choose to cherry pick and see whatever it is that you want. You don't want somebody policing some of the things that would ultimately, I think, happen with the whole net neutrality deal. And if you look at just the basics of this, because somebody sent me an email saying, well, you know, I'm not, you know, what does that mean? Why should we be so concerned about the assumptions? Net neutrality basically means that internet service providers can't discriminate between different kinds of content and the applications online. So that means everything would be level. You'd have a level field, pretty much. It's the best way to describe it, for all websites and whatever internet technologies there are. And there are a lot of them. We are using them right now on America Tonight through PalTalk or Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is. So imagine, you know, this is the thing. Your cable and TV companies want to charge money for access to website speeds and all that stuff for the applications, and also permission to plug in things. They think that the network, these network cable and telephone companies think that they should be able to charge website operators or any of the application people for the right to use the network, and the people who don't make a deal and pay would be discriminated upon. So their sites wouldn't load up very quickly. The applications and other things probably wouldn't work very well. And ultimately, what you would find is a lot of things would be blocked, or there would be a tiered internet. So you'd have to pay to get into the top tier, your site and the service and all that stuff. If not, you'd just be, you might as well be back on dial-up, if that makes sense. And the internet, to me, is a very open medium. And that was the idea from the beginning. So it's like bloggers. Bloggers, somebody comes up with a great blog and people want to follow that blog and pay attention to it, they can. So what would happen if you had those sites blocked or they had to pay more? Harvard professor Michael Lessing says, as long as you have private funds to drive public elections, then movements won't be able to change public policy issues like the one I just talked about. You'll be stuck with the whole net neutrality discussion. You'll find that won't happen. So the question then also becomes, what's next for net neutrality? What are we going to see? And here's what he said.
So long as chairmen of the FCC can leave the FCC and go be a lobbyist of the very people they were regulating and earn more than $2.3 million, as Michael Powell has just done, so long as that's the system, there will be no opportunity for movements like these to establish policies that get to be established policies in our government. Halfway into this term, we are fighting to hold on to what I believe is a second-rate compromise of network neutrality by a compromised FCC, because activists such as the Tea Party and the Republicans, and I thought three, I hear now six Democrats, are voting to make the FCC regulations to support network neutrality illegal. Now, maybe they will be stopped in the Senate, maybe. But the astonishing thing to keep in view here is that this obvious bipartisan reform is most likely dead as a political movement.
All right, dead as a political movement. You don't want, if you're an internet fan and the freedom of the internet highway, like I tried to describe in the beginning, because it is hard to wrap your brain around the issue, then you want it open. You don't want that to happen. It would be the worst thing possible, I think. And so you got lots and lots of content on the internet, and some of it I'm sure is crap and bogus and nasty and whatever. So the bottom line is you don't go there. The bottom line is you're not going in that direction anyway. This is the problem. Just a little bit, give them a little bit. And when you're talking about what has to be paid for what service, in the end, we will all suffer. We will all face the fate of ultimately too much government regulating what happens with the internet. And we absolutely, trust me, folks, we do not want that, do we? We don't want that. All right, here in America Tonight, we're famous for zigging and zagging all over the place, like I'm fond of mentioning. So I want to make sure that we do that. It's not all just about the budget and the whining and the groaning over that, although we certainly know that was a big deal the last couple of weeks, and then the government's not shutting down, and you know ultimately what happens after that. But what about Libya? Somehow in the middle of what's gone on, I don't know that we've necessarily lost that discussion. We've had it here on ATN. But somehow Libya is out on the pages below the fold, and people are talking about it, but it's not the focus anymore. And we spent a ton of money, frankly, with airstrikes in Libya. And the question becomes, are we going to have boots on the ground? Well, take a listen to what's happening probably pretty soon, because we're into Monday. The South African president, Jacob Zuma, talking about the Libyan government, is saying that the Libyan government has accepted an African Union peace plan to end this 8-week-old mini-war, or conflict, whatever you want to call it. Zuma and three other African leaders met with Muammar Gaddafi in Tripoli on Sunday, and now that same team is going on to meet with the rebels who are in Benghazi and seeing if they, you know, the main points of the deal are you'd have an immediate ceasefire, you'd have delivery of humanitarian aid, and no one would stop any of those people, you'd have the protection of any foreign nationals. And there'd be this conversation between the government and the rebels on some kind of a political settlement and the suspension of NATO airstrikes. Oh, thank goodness we'd save some money. So NATO, who, by the way, said that its planes destroyed 25 government tanks on Sunday, they're paying attention to what's going on here, as you can imagine. Part of the five nations that were represented, or the five panel, was approved by the European Union, but Western countries in the NATO ops haven't said anything, meaning the U.S., France hasn't said anything, the U.K. really hasn't said very much about it either, even though you're talking about the European Union. So, I would think they would have to be involved or look at this AU plan, because who's going to be in place? Is it acceptable to have Gaddafi stay, or is it acceptable to have his sons step into his shoes and stay in place in Libya? And Gaddafi was accused of shelling, I mean brutally shelling, a lot of civilian areas. So clearly, is he somebody that can stay in that position? I'm thinking no. But they don't really want one of his sons to be in that spot either. So this is tricky. Ceasefire, all that stuff, I mean, does it hold up if NATO doesn't really sign off on it? See, this is the deal. You go from sour to stalemate to spending all this money to ultimately what? What's the exit strategy? We're back to the same old thing. Ugh. Hang with us.
This This is an urgent message. Urgent if you care about feeding your family. S-510 has passed through Congress and will make the sale of heirloom seeds difficult. Prices of non-GMO seeds are skyrocketing and may be hard to afford in the future, if you can even find them. As the economy continues to decline, this will make the heirloom seeds worth their weight in gold and one of the best barter tools available. When food supplies eventually run out, your solution is to grow your own food and barter tool. Now, for a short time, GetSeeds.net offers 100 packets of heirloom non-GMO vegetable seeds for only $59. Pay with 2 ounces of pure silver or just $59. The best price on the net for high-quality seeds. Our GetSeeds.net seeds are open pollinated vegetable seeds sealed in a Mylar bag for long-term storage. Bulk pricing available. So get seeds while you still can at GetSeeds.net or call toll-free 877-341-4769. That's 877-341-4769.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural, built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
Here we go, the spring break $99 deal from Life Change Tea. Hit it, boys!
If you want it, here it is, come and get it. But you better hurry, cause it's going fast.
That's right, 2 months of Super Tea and a 45-day supply of Fat Burners for just $99. Spring into health for just $99. Feel good. Clean your body. Lose weight. It works immediately, so call now. 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can purchase online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. And remember,
Sonny, if you want it, here it is. Come and get it. But you better hurry, cause it's going fast.
That's GetTheTea.com.
I love you, baby. I love you now. I love you, baby. I love you now. Look at us, we're beautiful. All the people push and pull, but let's just go out and ride. Talk about the things we tried. Look at us, we're beautiful. All the people push and pull, but they'll never get inside. We got too much to hide. Come on, babe. Come on, girl. Come on, baby. Come on, girl. I love you, baby. I love you now.
So I'm sure we're going to be paying a lot of attention to Gaddafi and what happens with this ceasefire plan if it holds up, who's ultimately in place. Seems a little ludicrous. Okay, ooh, humanitarian mission. The guy's firing on his own people. We had to be in there. We have to get in there. But let's just leave Gaddafi in place or perhaps one of his sons. I'm just saying. That's it in a nutshell. That's what you got to think about. Boom, let's boil it down. Do you want the guy still in there in the sun and just go, or have the sun in there? I'm thinking no. But since it's really not the U.S.'s place, because it's not our war, as we've heard many, many times, I want to see collectively what happens here. Remember, you can always throw in your 2 cents on any or all of it or something different. Give us a new twist. 800-259-5791 or shoot me your thoughts. AmericaTonight.net. Go to the website. You can click on the email there. That's how you can get to us. In the meantime, what's going on in Japan? Do you know it's been so crazy? You know, when you're not looking, time just gets away from you. Well, the sands of time have now turned in a different direction. It's been a month. The people of Sendai certainly know that because a month is a pretty big period to mark when you're in the middle of a catastrophe. So since it's Monday in Japan, they're recognizing and remembering the massive earthquake and tsunami that killed the northeastern coast. Let's face it, 25,000 people dead, and the nuclear crisis that the engineers are still boggled by and trying to figure out how to contain it. So this is far from over there. There's still thousands of bodies that haven't been found, thousands. And then this plant, like I said, where initially they tried to quell the fears of people, is spewing radiation, let's face it. And there are people living in shelters. It's a very, you can't even describe it. It's more than a rough time for these people there. It's a disaster. It's got to be Japan's worst disaster since World War II. And it has to be tough for those people when they think back to a year ago and a 9.0 magnitude earthquake. You got ceilings crashing, people floating, kids in schools, just terrible stuff. And what's worse is still trying to find those people, not being able to even bury everybody. And that's the crushing blow. It's the humanitarian. It's the humanitarian side of it. The people. It's about the people. Forget the money for a second. It's about the people. And ultimately, as Japan is waking up from this nightmare that's continuing, the damage is off the charts. I mean, it's off the charts. At least $310 billion. And like I said, it's not about the money for the people who lost all of, lost their family, lost friends, lost neighborhoods, can't believe they survived. But then ultimately, in the rebuilding process, what happens to a place like Sendai? What happens there? You got people still, this is a month, you have people without electricity, you have 250,000 people without running water, and that's ridiculous. That's more than I think one person can take. And so for those people that are in those shelters, how horrible is that? And really, you come back to Fukushima and adding insult to injury, just a monument of stupidity that the people have to live with, and the radiation that keeps spewing out of that nuclear complex a mere 140 miles northeast of Tokyo. And, you know, hey, it lost its cooling systems when the water from the tsunami washed over it. And this is, you know, we're talking 4 weeks. And this is the worst nuclear crisis since Chernobyl, which is what, a quarter of a century ago? And they were trying to extend it, initially saying just 12 miles is the evacuation zone. You gotta be kidding. So imagine any of those people that felt crippled by what was going on around them and really had nowhere to go, that stayed somewhere within a 30-mile radius. And you had the United States and Australia saying, you got to be at least 50 miles back. You want to be 50 miles back. So finally, they're talking about moving it further. And they don't want people to return to their houses to pick through and find the belongings. And that's what's happening. They're hearing the 12 miles and people are going back and they want to, you know, they want to get their stuff if they can find anything. But now you have these radiation concerns. And so that's the problem. What are the future plans for these people? And some of them thought they were okay, and God knows how much damage they did to themselves, but they paid attention to what they were being told. And what they were being told was not good information. It was bogus information. Very sad. Very eye-opening, I think, in what we've seen in Japan. Very, very eye-opening. But anyway, it's been a month since all of that happened. Wow. Crazy. Like I said, the hands of time, how quickly they move. And yet how little has happened in the Fukushima plant and the radiation. Yes, help from other people and whatnot, but still no great news about this. Okay, it's cool. It's okay. Take a breath. Because God knows how many people were damaged by this, but at least we know we're safe. It's done. This crisis is over with. They can't say that at this point. They can't say that. Every day that goes by, I'll tell you what, it gets trickier and trickier, I think, for that government and certainly for that plan. I mean, it just shows how ludicrous it was to build it there in the first place. But you can't go back in history and change that. I mean, you know, hey, it happened. So while you were sleeping, and so much of the conversation was about what was going on in Libya, and we talked about this, you know, the Pentagon is having second thoughts on Iraq and what to do and what happens if they pull out too quickly. We have 8 months to go before the last American soldiers from Iraq should be gone. And then that war, so-called war, definitely, is closed. So the Pentagon, we've mentioned this before, Robert Gates spewed it and said that he was concerned about it. And I think we'll learn more. But they're talking about keeping several thousand troops in Iraq, not to be in a combat capacity, but to guard against what could happen there. The Shiites and the Sunnis and the explosion of what was there before. So Robert Gates, who made that visit last week and talked to some of the top eyes on the ground, the top U.S. commander in Iraq, they talked about the possibility of this extended stay. And then the question becomes, and this is a question to all of us, the taxpayers, the American people, the friends and family who have had people lost in Iraq and have people that could end up still serving there. What do you think the military commitment should be by the U.S. beyond 2011? What should that be? A couple of extra years as a permanent partner? A couple thousand troops just in case? I mean, remember, see, this is the thing. What is different from before? You have the Sunnis, the Shiites, and the Kurds. Still, can the three get along? And how far along are they in developing their military capabilities? Remember, the U.S. did a lot of training there, and they focused on the military and focused on the police. But what happens if Malachi, the prime minister there, says, no, go, we wanted you out, and that's what I said. I was one who put that date out there because he put the date out there. So if the Iraqis don't ask for more help, then December 31st will be the end of the U.S. military intervention. I'd say it's a gamble. That's a tough call, isn't it?